You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. Subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or follow our messages online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
My name's Dave. I'm one of the pastors here at the church. And so thanks for joining us today. Well, one of the things that was happening with me in college is I was actually a pre-med major, and my dad was convinced that I was going to be ending up going into medicine. I was going to become a doctor. But my junior year, I was feeling like God wanted me to follow a path of faith and go into ministry, that he wanted me to heal souls rather than bodies. And so I followed this path of faith, which eventually led me into ministry. This did not make sense to my dad. Not at all. He was doing the calculation in his mind, and one day he said to me, "I have spent so much on your education, and now you go into ministry?" It just didn't make sense to him. And, you know, oftentimes when we follow the path of faith, it doesn't make sense. And our minds tend to do the calculation, right? Our minds tend to do the calculation. Our minds want to make sense when our hearts want to have faith. And often the two are in contradiction. You know, it didn't make sense when I decided to give up a medical career, but often the path of faith doesn't make sense. There are certain things that don't make sense to me. One of them is why you park in a driveway and drive on a parkway. Another is seeing the policemen and women parking across from our corner deli in the no parking zone. That must be some good coffee. Another thing that doesn't make sense is why do we invest all our money with someone who calls him or herself a broker? Now, if lawyers can be disbarred and clergy can be defrocked, doesn't it follow that electricians can be delighted? Models can be deposed, tree surgeons can be debarked, and dry cleaners can be depressed. Doesn't make sense. These things don't make sense. And, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of things for you that don't make sense in your world. For you singles out there, it doesn't make sense that the couples that you know are always trying to introduce you to someone that they think would be great for you. For you parents out there, it doesn't make sense when your teenage daughter asks you to buy her new clothes, but then doesn't end up wearing any of them. It doesn't make sense to your parents when your kids only show half their face on their online Zoom class calls. For you who are teens out there, it doesn't make sense to go to bed early when you have all of that binge watching to do on Netflix, or for you guys, all the buddies that you can connect with while playing Fortnite. For you wives out there, you know, it doesn't make sense when your husband goes to pick up some things at the supermarket without telling you, because you know that you have a list in your head of all the things that he could have picked up for you if he would have just told you he was going to the store. And then for you kids, it doesn't make sense to you why your parents get upset when all of your toys are scattered on the floor, because don't they know that you are creating one of the coolest Lego projects ever? It just does not make sense. And there are things that don't make sense to us, and there are things that didn't make sense to the people that lived in Jesus' day. Let's look at a passage this morning where we see the disciples who are trying to make sense of something. They're trying to make sense of sacrifice. And that's what we're going to talk about this morning, making sense of sacrifice. And let's go to the passage on what the message is based on. It's Matthew 26, chapter 26, verses 1 to 13. If you have your electronic devices with you, open up your Bible app so you can follow along. If you have your Bible, grab your Bible, or you can read the verses as they appear on the screen. Let's read this together. Verse 1, when Jesus had finished saying all these things, he said to his disciples, "As you know, the Passover is 2 days away, and the Son of Man will be handed over to be crucified. What Matthew is telling us is that the teaching that he has compiled about Jesus' ministry is now at an end. And now the focus of the attention is on the narrative of Jesus going to the cross. The passage continues, "Then the chief priests and the elders of the people assembled in the palace of the high priest, whose name was Caiaphas, and they schemed to arrest Jesus secretly and kill him. But not during the festival, they said, or there may be a riot among the people." So I read this now to give you context. Here's the story in verse 6. While Jesus was in Bethany, in the home of Simon the leper, well, that's a rough nickname. You got to remember, in this society, lepers were outcasts. And so for Jesus to even be associated with a leper or former leper was remarkable. So maybe this leper, former leper, was somebody that Jesus healed. Maybe it was one of the people that Jesus healed. Maybe it was out of gratitude for the gift of healing that Simon invited Jesus to his home. You know, when God does something for you, when God helps you in a tangible, practical way, we should be able to open up the home of our heart to him, shouldn't we? Though that he can use us and not just work things in our lives for us, but that he can work things in our lives through us and use us to bless others. So here we are at the home of Simon, and then a woman shows up. It says a woman came to him with an alabaster jar of very expensive perfume, or in some versions, pure nard, which she poured on his head as he was reclining at the table. When the disciples saw this, they were indignant. "Why this waste?" they asked. "This perfume could have been sold at a high price and the money given to the poor." Aware of this, Jesus said to them, "Why are you bothering this woman? She's done a beautiful thing for me. When I'm giving my time, when I'm giving my talents, when I'm giving my treasure, I'm not giving that for you. I'm not giving that ultimately for the church. I'm ultimately giving that for God." So the passage continues, and it says that the poor, Jesus says, "The poor you will always have with you, but you will not always have me. When she poured this perfume on my body, she did it to prepare me for burial. Truly I tell you, whenever this gospel is preached throughout the world, even in 2021 at Redemption Community Church, what she has done will also be told in memory of her. We are still talking about this woman. The scent of her sacrifice is still in the air because she gave. So let's talk about making sense today of sacrifice. You know, it's interesting how we look at this passage. We want to tell the disciples to calm down. Why are you getting so angry? Disciples, what is going on? And, you know, the disciples, they didn't understand what was going on in all of its different aspects, right? They didn't understand how wrong they were. The disciples, though, didn't have the whole story. They were, on the other side of the cross. We are on this side of the cross. And, you know, I identify with the disciples, and maybe you do as well. You know, I identify with Jesus' inner circle here because, you know, for me, it's very important that we're helping the poor. For me, it's very important that there are people around us who have needs, that their needs are being met and they're being helped. And in fact, the reason that I'm directing the community outreach here at Redemption is because I have a passion to help the poor and that it's a good thing. The reason we do winter serve events and other events throughout the year, like we did yesterday, is because I have a passion to serve the poor and to help others do the same thing. And I just want to take an opportunity to thank all of our volunteers who came out to our Winter Serve event yesterday. So I want to give a shout out to them. Thank you for all those that came either in person or in our virtual at-home projects. Really appreciate all of your help. You are blessing a lot of people with needs in our community, and you're helping to make our community a better place for all people. So thank you. So part of me understands the disciples, that they were upset at this woman. Now, we don't see it here in Matthew's gospel, but we do see it in the gospel of Mark and the gospel of John. we see that this woman is not the mother of Jesus. This is a different Mary, a different woman, okay? So her name is Mary, not the mother of Jesus. And so what we see in these other passages is this perfume that she poured out on Jesus was so expensive that it was equal to a year's wages. This is something that would have been the most precious thing that she owned. This was her savings. This was her 401k. This was her emergency fund. It was her and her family's financial security. Security from famine. Security from invasion. It was a hedge against disaster. This is something that you're not putting in someone's stocking. This oil, this perfume, this pure nard came from northern India. It came from the Himalayas. And what they would do with the plant to get this perfume is the plant has pods on the top, and they would extract the oil from the pods and create this perfume. And so when this jar was broken, the perfume would just fill the air. And one of the things that my wife has gotten into over the past couple of years, my wife Virginia, she's gotten into essential oils. Maybe some of you have gotten into those as well. And she really loves these essential oils. She has different types of them for different things. And when she puts on an essential oil, it doesn't just make her smell beautiful, it makes the room smell beautiful. It makes the house smell beautiful. And if we're in the car, it makes the car smell beautiful. You know, I was told in seminary that you should use all of your senses to better understand a passage. And so that's what we're going to do together today. We're going to use all of our senses to understand what is going on at this dinner, okay? So we can all smell the sirloin. We can smell the grilled vegetables, right? We can smell those mashed potatoes. And over all of the smells of the dinner comes the fragrance from the perfume that this woman is pouring on Jesus. She starts pouring out this jar of perfume. This crazy woman pours out this jar of perfume. And for this woman to get close enough to Jesus, remember in that day you would eat at a table by sitting on the floor. You'd actually be reclining on pillows. Your feet would be away from the table, and for good reason, and your head would be toward the table. So this woman, and from other accounts, we guess about 17 people or so were at this table, and this woman has to get past people, has to push her way between Jesus and whoever was reclining next to him to be able to pour this perfume on his head. And you can imagine the scene, right? As they're staring at this woman getting closer to Jesus and then breaking the jar of this perfume. And they say to themselves, you can see them saying to themselves, is this what I think it is? Is that pure nard? And immediately the disciples are trying to calculate in their minds, because our minds are always trying to make sense of what we see and experience, don't they? And how many know that every time your heart tries to have faith, your mind tries to make sense? When your heart tries to have faith, your mind tries to make sense. And the two will often oppose each other because our minds think that it doesn't make sense. You know, if you give your money, if you give of your resources, if you give of yourself in a sacrificial way, it really doesn't make sense. You will hear a voice telling you, this sacrifice does not make sense. If you really give to God sacrificially, with your time, with your talent, with your treasure, you will think twice about doing that. You will have an uneasy feeling in your gut about sacrificing. I remember the first time I gave a big financial gift. I cannot believe how many zeros I put on that check. I thought that was going to be the biggest check I would ever write in my life. But you know what? When you have nothing, what's the risk, right? When you are down 47 to zero, throwing a Hail Mary, and you throw a Hail Mary, what is the risk? But some of you, listen to me this morning, some of you have a little something, but God is asking you to give a little something, and that's where the challenge, that's where it becomes challenging. This is a year's wages for this woman. Do the math. It just doesn't make sense. You know, I guess a lot of things in the church wouldn't make sense for somebody that's coming in from the outside. Why are they raising their hands? Leslie, does somebody have a gun? Why are they raising their hands? Leslie, where did I get that name from? Why are all these people raising their hands? What are they reaching for? But then you come to a place in your life where the weight of the world is on your shoulders, and you realize that God is big and you are small, and you surrender to God. Then it starts to make sense. Surrender starts to make sense. It may not make sense to others why you even come to church. Why would you take your day off and go to church? Why would you take your day off and watch the church service online? Why would you do that? Aren't there better things to do with your day off? But you know, I go to church because I know that that's where I can find the words of life. I go to church because I know that that's where I can go to celebrate Jesus with people that follow him. I can't do that anywhere else. That's why I go to church, and I know what the power of God's word can do in my life. That's why I go. There's a story in the Gospels about a centurion. Centurion was a Roman military commander back in Jesus' day, and you know, he comes to Jesus, and he asks Jesus, will you please heal my servant? Will you please heal my servant? And so Jesus is about to go with the centurion, but the centurion says no. He's like, I'm a commander of soldiers, and I know that if you say the word, it will be done. And Jesus says, great faith I have not seen in all of Israel. And Jesus, by the power of his word, heals the centurion's servant. By the power of one word, Jesus heals the servant. One word. And I know it's hard to make sense of things sometimes. And I know that these disciples are having a hard time making sense of this woman's extravagance. And to the disciples, it was extreme. It was disgusting even. It was so offensive that as we look at the other passages that speak to this story, we realize that the whole room would have been yelling at this woman. In verse 8 of Matthew chapter 26, we see that the disciples were indignant. It literally means that they were roaring like an animal, spitting with rage. Okay? That's the literal meaning of what was going on with the disciples. This woman was taking it too far. But maybe this woman had a different understanding of what was going on. Maybe this woman had an understanding of what was going to happen. She gave God, she gave to God, and I want to look at three things about her today. I want to look at the example she set, I want to look at the experience that she had, and I want to look at the expectation that was to come. The example, the experience, and the expectation. As we talk about these things this morning, you know, it's my heart for you as one of your pastors here at the church that you would grow in gratitude, that you would grow in appreciation, and that you would grow in anticipation as you hear this message. So the disciples, you know, I think can be forgiven for having a hard time making sense of the woman's sacrifice because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet, right? The disciples were still focused on Jesus's earthly kingdom that they thought that he was going to set up. And so that didn't fit, what the woman did didn't fit with the earthly kingdom values that they thought they should be holding. And so you see this in another passage in the book of James where God says that true religion is to give to the poor and the widow. Think about it. We have the benefit of knowing the whole story. We know that this was this woman's opportunity to do something significant for the one who she believed was her savior. The disciples didn't know it yet. They didn't see it. They didn't see it coming, that he had to go to the cross, that he had to die, but Mary got it. They were having dinner. They were having a celebration, but this woman had a sense of sacrifice. She knew what was coming. She knew who Jesus really was. And what the disciples couldn't seem to sense is that for 3 years, Jesus has been feeding people. For 3 years, Jesus has been healing people. And they were all there for that. And now Jesus' earthly ministry is winding down, and the hour is approaching for him to do the very thing that he came to do and go to the cross. They couldn't see it, but she did. If Jesus could come and die for me, the least I can do is break a bottle of perfume for him. If he can stretch out his arms and care for me and welcome me, if he can restore me, if he can give us all things, then it is a privilege for me to worship him. It is a privilege for me to sacrifice for him. It is a privilege to give up my comfort. It is a privilege to give up my security. I want to give all that I have. I want to give all that I am to Jesus, who's done these things for me. The woman was a beautiful and genuine example of worship. Jesus said that this woman did a beautiful thing. If we look at James, it says that those who care for the widows and orphans do a beautiful thing, that it is true and real religion. The fact that the disciples wanted the money to go to the poor was not a bad thing. It was a good thing. What was bad is how judgmental the disciples were being toward the woman who was expressing her worship of Jesus in a way that she did. How many of you know that there's different ways of worshiping God? Don't we all worship in our own way, ways we consider important? Let me illustrate this a little bit for you by telling you a little story. My wife, Virginia, has a brother. His name's Ted. And they relate to their dad in different ways. Their dad likes classical music. And so one of the ways that Virginia relates to her dad is by talking about classical music. Their dad also likes sports. So one of the ways that Ted relates to his dad is through talking about sports, right? That's how they relate, and they relate differently to their dad. It would be a problem if somebody from the outside were to come in and say, you need to relate to your dad like this, and you need to relate to your dad like that, wouldn't it? You get what I'm saying? There's a time to give to the poor if that is how you are worshiping. But don't get upset with somebody who's giving extravagantly as part of their worship. If we worship by emotionally connecting with God, don't get upset with those who come to worship God by bringing their gel pen and their moleskin notebook. Some of you like to connect with God more alone. Maybe there's a room in your house. Maybe you have a prayer closet where you go. Or maybe you like to be alone outside in nature. Others of you connect with him when you're with others. There's no greater connection to God when you're around people that follow him. Some of you enjoy working hard to make the world a better place. And so you connect with God through your service in the community. And in our relationship with God, we're going to relate to him in very different ways. In light of what we understand, in light of who we are, in light of what we know, and by how we are wired. The question isn't, do you like it? The question isn't, does she like it? The question is, does God like it? This woman is an example to us. Her response to Jesus was a beautiful thing. Her sacrifice was a beautiful thing. Her worship was a beautiful thing. Not only do we need to learn from her example, though, we need to understand her experience as well. We need to understand her experience, okay? You know, we don't see much here in the Matthew passage about her story, about this woman's experience. And, you know, if we could just find out a little bit more about what happened with this woman, if we could find out just a little bit more about her story, maybe we could get a better idea of why she would do such a generous and extravagant thing. Oh, well, I think we can. Let's go over to John chapter 12 to find out a little bit more about her story. Do you have a minute to look at that with me? We're going to go to John chapter 12. And we're going to look at more of her story. Something must have happened. You don't break a vase of expensive perfume over someone's head for no reason, okay? Something must have happened in her life to bring her to this expression of sacrifice and worship. So let's understand her experience now as we look at John chapter 12 so that we can understand
her extravagance. John chapter 12, verse 1 says, 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, where Lazarus lived, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. Remember Lazarus? I don't have time to tell you all about that story, but Lazarus was dying, and his family came out to Jesus and asked him to come quickly. If he didn't come quickly, Lazarus would die. Jesus delayed, and Lazarus died. Once Jesus came, he raised Lazarus from the dead, but he delayed. What's God delaying in your life? What answer to prayer is God delaying for you? You know what? God's delaying because he has something to teach you about him. What is God trying to teach you about him? Why is he not answering you in your time frame? He's trying to teach you something. Verse 2 here says, here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. Martha served while Lazarus was among those reclining at the table. Okay, so a dinner was served in Jesus' honor. Martha was serving. It's at Simon the leper's home with this guy Lazarus. And, you know, there was such a wonderful miracle that Mary and Martha and Lazarus had experienced that they decided, hey, let's ask Simon to open his home, throw a party, have a dinner, and invite Jesus over to show how much they appreciated what he had done. So Martha served Lazarus. Martha served while Lazarus was at the table. Verse 3, it says here then, Mary took about a pint of pure nard, an expensive perfume. Okay, now I got it. This woman is Mary, okay? This Mary, this is the one who saw her brother rise from the grave. This is the one who knelt at Jesus' feet, who said that if you were here, Lord, my brother wouldn't have died. The one who took Jesus to the tomb and watched as Jesus spoke the words that raised him from the dead. She said, I've been there before. I've seen the one word transform a situation. It makes more sense now because it's Mary. It makes more sense because she had a personal experience of the power of Jesus in her life. When you give to God, when you worship God, when you sacrifice, you need to understand that you're sacrificing from experience. God has been there for me. There are times when I thought I wouldn't make it. There are times when the darkness was overwhelming. There were times when I thought my prayers would never be answered, but by one word, God raised me from the grave. And you don't mind sacrificing when you have a personal experience with God. And I'm not going to experience the celebration of what Jesus did and resist the sacrifice. Amen? You can sit at the table, disciples. You can yell at me, disciples, but after what God has done for me, he is the resurrection and the life. So even when I sacrifice, when I give up what God is calling me to give, it's not gone. This woman, Mary, shows us an example. She has an experience, and now we're going to look at her expectation. You know, when a farmer plants the seed, he expects to see it again. When a farmer plants a seed, he's waiting for something greater. So I sacrifice with the expectation that I'm going to see Jesus again. She had the ability to hear from God and understand who he was and what he was about to do. And with all five senses, she worshiped God. She was willing to be seen. She heard that this was her moment. She touched his head with her hands and the oil. And everyone at the table tasted the goodness, but she made the decision to sacrifice. And I wonder today, have you ever broken a jar for Jesus? Many of us have never made a sacrifice to God. And we don't do it because we're scared. If I really believe in the resurrection, if I really believe that what goes in the ground, I'm going to see again if it's planted in the soil of faith. If I really believe that Mary really, what she did is still being told. If I really believe that nothing that I keep can be kept and nothing that I give will be gone. If I really believe that it is better to give than to receive,
if I really have had an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ who's alive today. Now I get why the gift had so many zeros. Now I get why I would give up my security. Now I get why I would give up my comfort. Now I get why I would give up my free time. Maybe God's calling you today to start giving financially. Maybe God is calling you to serve on one of our dream teams or serve in one of our community outreach projects. Maybe God is calling you to sacrifice some of your alone time so that you can get together with others that follow Jesus, because that's what God says is going to make you more like Jesus. That's what God says is going to make you more mature in your faith, to meet regularly with others that follow him, to not give up meeting together until it is called today. Do you think that I regret anything that I've sacrificed for Christ? There are a number of people here today that have sacrificed in the early years of this church so that we could benefit from the fruit of their sacrifice today. There are people here and online who have sacrificed so that we could purchase the equipment to be able to give you an online experience like we can give today and extend the reach of this church for Christ around the world. There are people that are sacrificing all throughout the week and every Sunday so that we can come together with our brothers and sisters in Christ and celebrate the one who brought us up from the grave, who gave us the experience like this woman had. It's because of their sacrifice that we can sit here and stand here and sing here today and listen to the teaching of God. We've been able this past year to serve more people in more ways than we ever have before as a church, and that's because of your sacrifice. We couldn't do it without that. And we have more people who found new life in Jesus and more people who are following him more completely because of your sacrifice. The disciples were sitting with their sacrifice. And it's this one woman at the dinner who had a sense that this was the moment. When God moves in your heart to have you live by faith, you have a choice. Have faith or make sense. Have faith that if I break this jar, this woman had faith that if she put this perfume not on her, but on Jesus, that it would still be a story that is told today. That it would never fade, and we still have the sweet aroma of what she did in the air today. Let's pray. God, we come before you and we are amazed at this woman. Her example, the experience that she had, and the expectation for what you were going to do. Lord, she knew, she understood what was going to happen, and there was nothing too great for her to sacrifice for you because she knew that you were her Savior. God, this morning I pray that we would understand that when we are faced in life with having to make a choice, when we are faced in life with having to make a choice between having faith and making sense, that we would have the faith, that you would strengthen us to have the faith that you want us to have, make the sacrifices that you want us to make. Thank you, God, for who you are and what you've done for us, and it's in your Son's name that we pray. Amen.
Thanks for tuning into our podcast. If you'd like to connect with us or learn more about our church, please visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org. We hope you can listen or join us next week.